Let us pray. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Benedictine sister Joan Chichester writes, "Just when summer gets perfect, fresh nights, soft sun, casual breezes, crushingly full and quietly cooling trees, empty beaches, and free weekends, it ends. And life is like that too. Just when we get it right, it starts to change. The job gets easy, and we know just how to do it, and they tell us we've retired. The children grow up and get reasonable, and they leave home just when it's nice to have them around. That's life on the edge of autumn, and it's beautiful if we have the humility for it." After an unusually warm week, the weather changed this weekend. The rain came, the wind blew. For many of us, the power went out, and we know that fall itself is giving way. Just as the maple leaves reach their crescendo of exclamation, they start to fall. And our favorite tree, yesterday so exquisite, this morning reveals bare limbs. The seasons are changing. And even if fall is your favorite time of year, there was still a wistfulness to the passing of summer, and certainly one to the passing of fall. On Tuesday, this past Tuesday, that gloriously beautiful and unseasonably warm day this past week, Charlie sailed his beloved boat south to Point Bay, where it will soon be taken out of the water, trailered to Darling's, and stored for the winter. The morning was gorgeous, and he was tempted to hold on to summer and not abandon his ship to winter. But the forecast was for rising winds in the afternoon, reaching 38 knots, and he knew he had to go. Rather than setting off with the intention of reaching his destination as quickly as possible, however, he altered course a bit, sailing west one more time to New York, relishing the warm wind and the clear lake and the sweet elixir of a season's passing. In retrospect, he said he probably shouldn't have wandered as long as he did, because the winds, as predicted, came up mighty and strong, and the rest of the journey, though he sheepishly calls it exciting, was not as pleasant as it had begun. Someone remarked to me recently that she's always gotten a bit depressed in the spring and the fall, and it's confounding to her because she's really such an upbeat person and especially loves spring. Why ever would she get depressed, she wondered. For everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. The seasons change just as our lives change. And I want to explore with you this morning that time of change, that transition from one thing to another, when something ends and another begins or is about to begin. I call these times threshold moments. I've often reflected that most of my time as a pastor has been spent sitting with people on thresholds, within the door frames, on the hinges of their lives, as they transition from one way of thinking, one understanding, one calling, one relationship, one trial to something else. Very often they don't know what that new thing will be. They just know the previous belief or relationship or job or career or living situation or church or school is ending and they are moving on to the next. These transitions, of course, don't have to be life-changing to be significant. Someone doesn't have to die for you to know that you are entering a new phase or experiencing a changing landscape. If you are sensing the transition, no matter how great or small, it is important because it's important to you. When our eldest child got his license, it honestly didn't affect our lives that much. But when the youngest did, well, that altered my life a lot. I'd been chauffeuring 5 kids around for 28 years. And when suddenly Jane got her license, I could, for the most part, hang up my gloves. Of course, it came with its own very real challenges, but they were different. This is the way it is with parenthood, isn't it? Just when you think you've got the routine down, it changes. Soccer season ends and hockey and basketball start. They give up piano lessons and want karate instead. They go to college and then tell you they aren't coming home for the summer. Young men and women spend an inordinate amount of time crossing thresholds, and that's the point. They dash across them. They leap them in a single bound and plunge into the next endeavor or friendship or school or job very quickly. They don't spend a lot of time pausing at the threshold, sailing back and forth across the lake, feeling wistful about what was, at least not overtly. As we get older and maybe even just a little wiser, we are apt to be more aware of threshold moments, aren't we? And the discomfort or the itchiness that they can bring. People often tell me that something seems just off in their lives, that they feel weird or odd, beset by a certain malcontent or uneasiness. What we don't always realize is that when these feelings come to us, we are crossing some kind of threshold, moving from what was to what will be, even if we don't know what lies ahead. Often we just have a sense of an ending, of something having run its course. Perhaps it's a job that has worn you out or become dull and is no longer challenging. Maybe it's that your living situation, for whatever reason, is going to change and you're going to have to leave this house or apartment or city or state and go someplace else. Is it a relationship? Have you ever in your life suffered from WBS? You know what that is. Warm body syndrome. That's when you stay in a relationship longer than you probably should, because the thought of disrupting your life and ending that relationship is just too much. So you stay together, clutching on to what is over and squeezing all life out of what is left, and eventually what might have been an amicable parting can become a bitter, acrid separation or divorce. You may be really excited about the new whatever you are entering, a new job, a new love, retirement even, a new routine of some kind. But here's the thing. No matter how positive your attitude is about what lies ahead, there is always grief in leaving what has been. Rob Bell has spoken eloquently about this. And sometimes there is a lot of grief. When someone dies, you know full well that you are entering a new world without your loved one. You know you're at a threshold moment. And grief is expected and even mandated in this situation. There are other times, however, when moving on seems almost exclusively good, like the right thing to do, and you marshal your forces and you go forward. But if you don't take the time to remember and honor what has been, to grieve its parting, to pause at the threshold before going forward, you won't ever be able to fully enter the new phase. This was really clear to me when our former pastor, Reverend Will, left. We did exactly what we were told. We had a formal service of thanksgiving and release following the liturgy laid before us by our denomination, the United Church of Christ. And that was that. But it wasn't, was it? Many of us felt grief and felt also that somehow we weren't being good team players if we wanted to sit on the threshold and moan. I honestly think it would have been useful if we had all come into this sanctuary, projected his picture on a large screen, and just sat here and talked about what he meant to us. We needed to pause at the threshold and honor our feelings. There are many pitfalls in major transitions, and one is our tendency sometimes to label as bad what was in the past and as good what lies ahead. We can on occasion beat ourselves up and judge our past behavior as wrong when in fact we were doing what we needed to do at the time. It wasn't necessarily wrong. We did it because given our understanding, our insecurities, our fears, needs, and capabilities, it was just what we did. That we may have decided to change, to move on to a new way of being, is a reflection of our growth, and it too is a stage in our development and evolution. Being able to feel gratitude for the past, fraught though it might have been with missteps, is a gift in itself. Allowing ourselves some measure of forgiveness is a vital part of pausing at the threshold. We can also beat ourselves up for not having left sooner. We think in retrospect that we shouldn't have stayed in that relationship or job so long, but the truth is that we were probably just a little apprehensive about altering the course, and often we were just hopeful that things would get better. Sometimes what you are leaving or giving up has been destructive, and you just know that it has to end. But even then, there can be a sadness because what you are leaving is familiar, destructive, or hurtful, though it may have been. There is, of course, a safety in the known, even if it hasn't been good for us. We see this so clearly with addictions of any kind. Summoning the courage and the support needed to move on is essential. But examining what drove us into the arms of the bottle, another person, the pills, or behavior is the real work of a threshold and continued recovery. There are also times when something wonderful ends, not at your instigation, but because of something else. Your job is eliminated, your partner falls in love with someone else. You can no longer stay in your own home, perhaps because of financial or health issues. I don't have to tell you at times like this to pause at the threshold, because it's likely you can't even get yourself up off the ground. No matter what kind of change you're facing or have faced, it is the pausing at the threshold that I want to encourage, difficult though it may be. It takes courage and wisdom and faith not to dash from one thing to another. It can be really hard because it can bring up some difficult things. How much easier it would be just to jump into the next endeavor or job or relationship or routine without acknowledging what has passed. Thresholds are hard. There's no way around it. They are poised between what was and what is to be, between the past and the future, between joy and uncertainty, grief and hope. But this is where real growth, learning, and faith happen. So next time you face a transition, stop and pause at the threshold. You will likely feel uneasy and alone and maybe sad. For even if what you are leaving has been destructive, it is familiar and it is secure. Maybe you don't feel that you are leaving as much as being left. And there can be a rush to change, to make a bad situation better quickly. Regardless, sit down on the hard threshold and breathe. If you turn quietly to your side, you will find someone sitting with you. You will find the master of all thresholds, the one who knows more about losing and apprehension, the pain of what is and the uncertainty of what is to come, more than anyone else ever did. You will find Jesus, who on the cusp of his eternal tomorrow, on the edge of resurrection and glory, wailed out to his beloved parent, "Why have you forsaken me?" He knew how to grieve the loss of what had been as he hung on the cruel threshold of a new beginning. Thresholds are hard, like crosses. They are the point where what has been intersects with what will be. They are yesterday and today and tomorrow, the temporal and the eternal held by God. The irony is that though you may feel most alone at a threshold moment, it is in that loneliness and that uneasiness that Jesus sits next to you to be with you as you pause and hang and grieve and finally raise your eyes to a tomorrow shimmering with grace and the companionship and support of Christ forever and ever. Amen.